Today is August 16th, 2018, and this is episode number 475 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I saw George R. R. Martin speak recently. Squee!
That's awesome.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at facebook.com/groups/contextmachine.
So, George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, he was doing a little speaky thing. He was being interviewed by he's on stage with really John Boccaccio, who's an artist that's done a bunch of books, including the 2012 Song of Ice and Fire calendar. Really interesting speaker. George Martin is a really good speaker. Very funny guy. Very interesting as both a nerd and as a writer, as a fan of the well. Not really a fan of the show, but as a fan of the show, a fan of the books, a fan of his other works, someone who is interested in how the TV industry works, or at least worked back in the day, and actually a little bit about how it works today. Mm-hmm. We heard a lot about his early career. We heard a lot about apparently one of his fans named her daughter Cersei. Don't think I would have chosen that name for my kid.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of how it goes, though. There's a lot of people that have names where their parents didn't quite think about what the name meant.
They didn't actually, yeah. It's like, yeah, you know she's the bad guy, right?
Maybe they know something about their daughter that they're just not sure.
Yes. Well, that was funny too. He was asked about like where he comes up with names, which is a really stupid question in my opinion, but it actually got a really interesting answer. Mm-hmm. An interesting answer is that he has a library of baby naming books that he's collected over his career. And he consults those books when he's looking for names. And he quipped that sometimes he just finds a name that he likes, and sometimes he'll look at the meaning of a name and it'll be destined for a tragic end. Yep, that works. So he picks that name. That was, you know, that was funny. That's a good story.
That is funny. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it turns out, Jeff, here's the funny thing.
Okay.
You know, I live in Silicon Valley.
Right.
That's not news to you, right?
No.
It's apparently news to me because Worldcon, which is a science fiction convention aimed partially at writers, mm-hmm. travels around the country, different cities every year. And this year it's in San Jose. It's about a mile and a half from my house. Actually, it's the same place where WWDC took place. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea, but it turns out that's why George is in town. Why he did this charity speaking event up in Redwood City, because he's in town for Worldcon, and I have this great sci-fi show, practically in my backyard, and I had no idea, but fortunately George told me, and I'm going to try to go.
That was really nice of him to fill you in like that. That's mm-hmm. what friends are for.
Right. Right. Well, the ridiculous thing is I just didn't already know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you found out before it happened as opposed to like the day after it left town.
Yes, that is an excellent point.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good time, and I've ended up having a busy week in part because of all this. Do we have some things to talk about for the show?
We do, but before we do that, I just want to give everyone some foreshadowing. We have a sponsor today. Our sponsor.
Oh, that's great!
Yes, they make
helps keep the lights on.
Yeah, and the air clean, because that's what Molecule does. It's an air purifier.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah. So anyhow, we have a deal, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
yes, wow, that's great, man.
We have topics.
All right. Well, shall we just jump to one?
Yeah. Do you have a preference? What we hit first?
Yeah, let's just get me all fired up and talk about Twitter's beep 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 stupidity.
I don't know if you're running on no sleep or if you got a lot of sleep, but whatever it is, keep doing it for the show because it's awesome.
Yeah, well, F Twitter. How's that?
Thank you for not making me have to edit.
I enjoy Twitter. Twitter's my second favorite out of two social media platform. Instagram first and Twitter. Twitter's the most useful. Instagram's the most enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I'll accept that.
And you were saying?
And actually, I've just started an experiment. I took my Twitter client app off my home screen on my iPhone and put the microblog client app there instead. So I'm trying posting there, which will then cross post to Twitter, so people will still see what I'm posting.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if that's going to have an impact on how I post and the types of things that I post.
Well, here's the thing, though. The key, everyone is looking for something different out of social media, right? Mm-hmm. If you, like for us, for instance, we have a professional aspect of being on Twitter.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not leaving Twitter anytime.
We want followers because those followers can help amplify our professional work.
And it's also really nice to get to interact with those people.
Absolutely. But if you're not on any platform, if you're just cross-posting from one platform to another, you will not gain any traction or have any success within that second or third or fourth platform.
Well, that's why this is an experiment.
But the experiment is essentially whether or not you want to leave Twitter, isn't it?
No, the experiment is because it doesn't matter if I want to leave Twitter. I can't. It's the primary platform for interacting with people in this way. The experiment is, will posting something to Microblog have an impact on how I'm posting and what I'm posting? Will I see a change in my attitude?
I'm glad you asked. It's TM O'Brien. That's Brian with a Y.
TM O'Brien with a Y. Got it.
And you are what again?
J Gamut.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm glad you asked.
So this is quite a build up for Twitter, isn't it?
It is kind of, well, yeah, kind of.
We haven't even started talking about why we're talking about Twitter.
No, we haven't, but I think it's a valid topic of conversation. If you're not on Twitter, reading the conversation, reacting to the conversation, taking part in the conversation, this is true for forums, right? This mm-hmm. is true for Facebook. It is true for Twitter. It is true for Instagram. If you're not participating within a platform, you will not gain any traction in that platform. And again, I'm aiming that more at people who want to who want to build a social media platform as opposed to people who are just like, you know, reading and consuming stuff.
Yeah, and for me, what I've done is created this experiment where I am really increasing how much work I have to do in social media, because I can post on Microblog. I know it's cross-posting to Twitter, and now I'm having to watch my Twitter client app, which is Tweetbot, and I'm having to watch the Microblog client app so that I'm engaging with people from the conversations on both platforms.
Yeah, one of them is going to end up suffering. You can't do both well. I suppose one could, but if you're doing both well, then something else in your life is going to be, or something else in your professional life is going to be suffering.
Yeah, and that's why these are experiments and not life changes.
Okay, I hear that part. I hear that part. All right, so here's why I'm dropping the literal F-bomb as opposed to the, anyway, yeah, F-Twitter. And we mentioned this, I think we mentioned this before, maybe we mentioned this on TDO, But Twitter has basically killed some APIs that make third-party Twitter apps useful.
Right. So specifically, the whole thing where you can watch in your Twitter client and see all the tweets in your stream updating in real time, that's gone.
Yeah. Real time. You get bursts. You get bursts, 1 to 2 minute bursts.
Right. So what happens is the Twitter clients have all had to change so that they don't pull Twitter for new posts faster than the new APIs allow. Although you can sit there in your Twitter client app and do whatever it is that it does to manually update. So like on your iPhone, in most apps, it means you flick down from the top of your stream. So you can sit there and go flick, 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 and stay real time that way, which is kind of crazy to do. The other big change that people will notice is that push notifications are pretty much gone.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And Twitter's doing this because they want us to use their crappy website. Screw Twitter's website. I don't want to use Twitter's website. I want to use a client, especially on my Mac. I would use Twitter's client on my Mac, except for Twitter killed it. So F Twitter. F Jack Dorsey, screw you. This is a ridiculous decision.
I tried to come up with other reasons why this was a good thing, just for users in general. But all I come up with is that it's not. And this is just another ham-fisted push on Twitter's part to make us use just their own tools.
Yeah, to make us use Twitter in ways that benefit them.
Now, for a lot of people, that's probably fine. But for those of us that it's not, well, it's a big problem.
Yes, to say the least. This may end up killing my use of Twitter. I mean, I really don't want to use the Twitter website. The Twitter website it sucks for managing multiple accounts. Because you can't. It sucks in terms of trying to get just getting the information, using the information, retweeting the information. All of the things that I like to do on Twitter are done through apps, not the website. I don't want to use the website. What the frick is wrong with Jack Dorsey and Twitter? Like I don't even understand this. And the thing is, here's what another thing that really pisses me off about this is that third party clients were key to Twitter's early growth.
Yes.
And early success. Things like Tweetbot and TweetDeck.
Yeah, and they've been critical for engagement.
Yeah, and they're also critical for all those quote-unquote influencers. Mm-hmm. You know, people who have lots of followers and have a big platform. Those people use these third-party apps to help manage their significant Twitter use. So, I mean, you know, some people may think of this as a tempest in a teapot because, well, you know, I use Twitter on the browser, and that's fine. I would imagine that the vast majority of people are probably using Twitter in a browser. Maybe the Twitter app on iOS.
Mm-hmm. Or Android, but yeah.
But the echo chamber cares about this, and the echo chamber is built in is filled with influencers, and then of course the broader, you know, the people who the influencers, there are far more influencers who are not in the tech echo chamber because they're, you know, pop media, politics and such as that. Mm-hmm. It just infuriates me. And they've never offered a good reason for any of this.
I have a hypothesis on the reason.
Okay.
How many third-party Twitter client apps have you used that show Twitter's inline ads?
Make that happen if that's the issue. Now, I get that, but require the third-party apps to show the inline ads. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that in that I don't want to be the product. Actually, I would rather Twitter let me pay, you know, $20 a year to use it. They probably would want more than that. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you're worth a lot more to them as an advertising target than a $20 or $30 a year
subscription. I pay $100. Twitter is important enough to me to use, to, you know, to pay $100 a year. I don't want to, but I would do it if I needed to professionally. And, but, you know, do that. But if you're not going to do that, force the third-party apps to show your inline ads. That's fine. That's fair, actually. Mm-hmm. It is the ads that pay for the service.
Yeah. So that would have been a much better change than killing what I consider to be critical features.
Yeah. Yeah, we're poking around and we're poking around in the Twitter apps this morning, or you know, before we started doing the show, and they're basically useless. And it's just infuriating. And they killed the Mac client. I mean, come on, hire a developer. They did not even have a full time developer on that because it hadn't been touched in years.
No, it hadn't.
Right. So that's another thing. They bought a third party app and they killed it and made it
the best of the apps at the time.
Yeah. And then they just killed that.
Now, you said a minute ago that when we were playing around with the third-party Twitter client apps on our Mac this morning, that they're basically useless. I wouldn't go that far, but they certainly didn't have the functionality that they had yesterday. And in one case, there's an app that still needs to be updated so that you can do things like send direct messages.
Yeah, well, and there was an update to that app. You didn't install that on the Mac, did you?
It's not showing up as an option for me. I've only seen the iOS version.
Oh, I see. That's right. That may actually be.
So my guess is that the Mac version is coming today, tomorrow, something like that.
Right. Yeah, I'm checking. I'm not seeing.
Here's the big kicker to all this for me. After we've had our rantapalooza, it doesn't matter. Because most people probably won't even realize that the changes have happened. Most people don't care if they're seeing tweets come up in real time. Most people probably aren't paying attention to push notifications or don't even have them turned on for their Twitter client. I think this is a bigger issue for the what I'll call the power users.
And the influencers.
Yeah, but for everyone.
Because influencers are power users. Well, but the thing is that the power users and the influencers have a disproportionate impact on what's happening on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Why is Twitter cutting off its nose despite its corporate Jack Dorsey face?
Ads.
Screw you, Jack.
Ads. I think it's all about ad revenue.
And they're couching it. And again, make the third-party apps show the ads. I'm okay with that. It's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, and if they still the path that they've chosen to go down, what would have made me feel better about this, and that's very marginally better, would have been if instead of saying, this is going to be so great for everyone, you're going to love
these. Did they do that?
They kind of implied that. But
they said we're deprecating features and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, because now they'll be able to.
You're just pushing my buttons, man. They didn't do that.
They're offering a unified way for people to look at things. What they should have said is, look, we need to make money to keep this thing going. The way we have everything set up right now, third-party apps don't show ads. So we're just going to kill features there so that you have a better or more level experience in our own apps and our website. So go there and we love you.
Yeah.
I would have preferred the honesty.
I would have preferred the honesty and I would prefer sensible changes that that force the inline ads. That would make a lot more sense. This does not make sense. And we would not be having this conversation. We'd be having a slightly different conversation about how unfair it is that Twitter is killing the third-party apps that helped make the platform in the beginning, if they hadn't killed the Mac app too.
Yeah.
This would be a completely different conversation. If I could use the Mac app, I would use the Mac app, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And oh, it's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. On my Mac a lot.
I use Twitter on my Mac personally, mostly. Now I realize I'm probably a bit aberrant there.
I forgot. In their blog post about this, they said mm-hmm. no one used the Mac app anyhow, so why have it? I'm mm-hmm. totally making that up to push your buttons.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm getting on Expedia because I'm going to fly to Boulder and kick your ass.
I bet I can run faster than you.
I bet you can.
especially if I'm concerned that someone's going to kick my ass.
You could probably hobble faster than I could run. I'm just saying.
Are you saying that I should give you a head start on the chase?
Yes. Significant head start on the chase so I can maybe catch you.
And then you'd be like, damn it, Jeff, stop running towards the mountains. You know I'm from low altitude.
Exactly. Let me wrap this up by saying F Jack Dorsey and F Twitter. I am pissed about this.
I totally get why you're pissed.
And in fact, you know what? Let's see here. Let's go to the Twitter. Let's see if I can still do the Twitter with the Tweetbot.
You can still do the Twitter with the Tweetbot.
I am going to do. Let's see. I'm going to send. Jack. That's right. It's just at Jack, isn't it? Is it capital?
It's at Jack. No.
Capital Jack? Little Jack?
Little Jack. You're going to send a message to Little Jack. The jokes are almost writing themselves, Brian. I'm going to hop over to my Twitter client while you're typing.
Yes.
Even though I won't be able to see your post in real time.
All right. I said, at Jack, screw this third-party API deprecation. Screw your decision to kill the Mac app. And I'm just about ready to say, screw at Twitter.
Yeah. I have to believe you because...
In 1 or 2 minutes, you'll see that.
Yeah, I'll see that in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I said it. All right, so so annoying, man. So annoying. All right, so this is other news. You mentioned this today. I'm a little behind this morning. This iPhone thing.
Oh, yeah, the iPhone thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the iPhone thing. We today got our second place saying, hey, this year's iPhones are going to have Apple Pencil support. Now, specifically what we're hearing is that it's also partial confirmation of three iPhone models, one that will be LCD and two that will be OLED.
Who's behind this?
The one from today is a Chinese, I believe.
Okay.
News site.
It's not Meiji Kuo?
No. I think
it's... Because that guy's wrong all the time. I'm tired of him getting all this credit. All the time.
Economic Daily News.
All the time. All the times.
All the times.
Not all the time. But all the times. Time.
Yes. Okay. So Economic Daily News. They're saying that... The 6.1-inch LCD screen, spoiler alert, there's supposed to be a 6.1-inch LCD screen. That will be what I'll call the budget phone, the economy phone.
Okay.
And that one will not have Apple Pencil support. But the 5.8-inch and 6.5-inch OLED screen models, so the premium models, those will have Apple Pencil support. So you'll be able to use the stylus with your iPhone, assuming this is correct. Now, I'm thinking with multiple reports from different sources popping up that the Apple Pencil thing is pretty likely. To me, it seems like maybe that's something you do on the 6.5 inch model, but not the 5.8 inch model, because 6.5 inch, we're now really pushing that envelope into the small tablet space. Mm-hmm. And so, an Apple Pencil support thing would be okay there. But I don't know. I'm still really not excited about the idea of Apple Pencil support on the iPhone. I mean, I used Palm PDAs for years, and I used them with a stylus because that's the only way you could do it.
Sure.
The stylus thing just really felt kind of cumbersome on a handheld PDA type device. So in this case, an iPhone. So there you go. Now you're kind of up to speed.
All right. All that makes sense. Seems I'm not hungering to use a pencil with iPhone, but I know there's folks that want to, so why not let them? Like, if that's how people want to use their devices, why not let them?
Well, Apple isn't making MacBooks with touchscreens.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point, but that doesn't mean that Apple should, and two wrongs do not make a right, sir. Did your mom teach you nothing? Hello, Mrs. Gamut.
Let's call my mom right now. I'll get her on the show, and she's going to say, Brian, don't be mean to my son.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
And she's right.
It's a fair cop. So Apple should make a toaster fridge. And if people are really wanting to use Apple Pencil with iPhones, Apple should enable it if they can do so.
People can already use styluses with an iPhone.
Apple Pencil, sir.
I know.
There's stuff going on. There's stuff going on with the Apple Pencil that needs more of the stuff.
Yeah, I know. You have to have a special chip for it. And probably like a special sensor layer that you'd have to add into the iPhone screen that's not already there. Here's the thing. The sources from Economic Daily News,
yep,
they actually named the chip supplier. So okay. That's, to me, that's pretty clear indication that this is coming. So the chip supplier is Elon, ELAN.
Okay. Yep.
And
heard of them.
They're the company that makes the sensors and chips that Wacom is using for their styluses and tablets.
I see.
So Elon's the real deal when it comes to this. They also make chips for Microsoft for their stylus needs, and several other companies too. So this is the first time we've actually had a chip supplier named, and that's kind of a big deal. So I'm thinking we probably are looking at Apple Pencil support.
I would say this is coming up too, right? So the timing is right for it to be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's that point in the rumor cycle for this, I mean, we haven't gotten that sort of critical mass that we've talked about in the past on this particular one, but it's late enough in the cycle that it's probably going to be accurate.
Yes. And so with the thing we had earlier this week, which was from TrendForce, they were saying this. Now we have Economic Daily News saying it. And then we also have, now that I recall, I think it's from Spring, a report saying that, or no, I think it was last year. There was a report saying that Apple is working on an Apple Pencil for the iPhone. And that was long enough ago that the information that was available could have been construed that Apple's making a special version of the pencil for iPhone.
That would suck. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to manage, like, I don't like, which Apple pencil am I going to use here? That would be ridiculous. I think you're right.
Yeah. So it'll be the regular Apple pencil. It works on an iPad and iPhone. You know what Apple needs to do with this? Regardless of whether or not the iPhone thing actually happens, they need to make jumping from device to device much smoother. Because I have one Apple Pencil, but I have two iPads that support the Pencil.
Yeah.
So what I have to do when I switch devices is...
Switch devices.
I have to plug the Pencil into the device.
Yeah. Oh.
Ew. Yeah. So it's not like I'm writing on one and then I just move my hand to the other and I'm writing on the other. No. Plug the Pencil in. Now it's
linked to that
device. Plug it into the other. Now it's linked to that device.
Yeah. You're weird in that you have multiple iPads that way.
Yeah. But if we're getting this support, it.
Right.
Now it becomes iPhone and iPad. And a lot of people have that.
A lot of people have that. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder though how many would regularly do both. Or regularly want to switch even. Because the use case is different, right? Most people, my feeling is that most people don't use their iPad the same way they use their iPhone. And just because someone wants to use their Apple Pencil on an iPhone doesn't necessarily mean that they would be using it on both an iPad and an iPhone, vice versa.
That's true. But I bet there's a lot of people that still would, simply because they have both. They already have an Apple Pencil, probably. And if you've already got it in your hand, then it becomes an easy thing to just keep using. I know several people that use Apple Pencil as a pointing device all the time on their iPad.
A pointing device?
Yeah, like instead of using your finger to tap on stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, if you're holding it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, which to me is just crazy talk, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's there's no objective right or wrong there.
Yeah, it's still crazy talk. But if you're already using your Apple Pencil to tap on stuff on one device, it becomes second nature, I think, to just pick up the other device and continue doing the same thing.
Right.
So Apple needs to make this jumping between devices a lot smoother.
Okay, fair enough. I don't think it'll be a critical failing if they don't improve that, but I agree with you, it's an area that could definitely, that could be improved.
Yeah, I mean,
it
needs to be improved. And if they don't improve it, what they need to do is stop selling Apple Pencils with a cap. Because if you have an iPhone and an iPad and you're going to jump between the two, and you have to keep taking the cap off so you can plug it into one device and then the other, you're just going to lose a cap. So just save us the hassle and don't include a cap anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, the whole charging, the way you charge, it's weird. I wonder what they're going to do with a... With two, I wonder if like Apple Pencil 2 will be wireless charging only with their pad, that was announced last year and never shipped or hasn't shipped yet.
I speculated on that a while ago on the iOS show with Michael Johnston, which sadly we're not doing that show anymore. So. Mm. But I speculated on Apple Pencil. And wireless charging. And Michael said not likely. And keep in mind, he is now a rocket scientist. So he knows a lot of stuff.
Right.
And he said the way that the Apple Pencil is designed, meaning it's a cylinder, and the way that you have the receiving antenna piece for wireless charging, that doesn't work. So the likelihood that Apple Pencil will have wireless charging support is pretty low.
Okay. All right. I respect the source. Seems like there would be a lot of benefit from that because this whole like sticking in a lightning port and having it stick out thing is for the birds.
I know. And every time I'm sitting at a coffee shop and I have to plug my Apple Pencil into the side of my iPad while I'm working on something else, I feel like a tool sitting there with this pencil sticking out the side of my iPad.
Yeah. Well, you just wait for somebody to come walking by and
and you know, snap it off.
Snap it off or mangle your voice port in your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And here I have this elegant, beautiful iPad, this elegant, beautiful pencil, and they're stuck together in the most awkward way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's well put. All right. So tell me about this air purifier.
Oh, yeah. The purifier. Okay. So here's the deal. Molecule, what they make is this air purifier that's like totally revolutionary. It's different from anything else you've ever used. If you've had air purifiers in your house, so different from the ones that I'm using, where you have like two or three filter layers that air gets sucked through and then blown back out. What the molecule does is it looks sort of like a floor fan, and so it pulls air through, but then it's this technology where it's actually breaking stuff apart on the molecular level and pulling the pollutants out of the air.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like crazy. So it's called photoelectrochemical oxidation.
Wow.
Technology. So it eliminates allergens, molds, bacteria, viruses, airborne chemicals. So basically it totally cleans the air in your place.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
it's not chemicals.
No chemicals at all.
You're not spraying the air with like an antibacterial mist.
No, you are not.
Which is great that we're not. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So but what they've done is introduce this breakthrough science that's capable of destroying the air pollutants at the molecular level. They have all kinds of testimonials. One customer said that she was, quote, able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years.
End quote. Wow.
Yeah. So what they've done, I mean, they've had like EPA funding for the testing on all of this. I mean, they've been like serious about this. And their technology has been personally effective and verified by science. It's been tested by real people. And they've already helped allergy and asthma sufferers all around the country cope with their conditions and reduce their symptoms. And they have a special deal for our listeners, Brian.
Do tell.
Here's the deal. If you go to their website, which is molecule.com, and that's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E, molecule.com.
With a K.
With a K.
Okay.
And then use our special code, which is ACM at checkout. You get $75 off your first order.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So molecule.com, M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. ACM is that discount code, and you get $75 off that first order.
All right. This is super interesting to me, and I am keen to check this out.
I am too, especially considering how much smoke we've been dealing with from forest fires from the West Coast, and of course, our Western Slope fires here in Colorado too.
Yeah. Firstly, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
And secondly, that ain't going to get any better. So having an air purifier of this kind of caliber could become more and more useful.
I agree completely. And $75 off, that's sweet.
That is sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So really glad to have them. We very much appreciate it. We really want our listeners to go check them out. Remember that coupon code ACM.
And the website's molecule.com, M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. Thanks, Molecule, indeed, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Let's see. We also have, let's see, this thing here. John Martellaro. Love that man.
Yep.
Love that man. He found us something. It's actually from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's the Sony patent from 2016. For a contact lens that can record video.
Yeah. I find that fascinating. A little bit creepy, but also fascinating.
It is, yeah, it is fascinating, and it is potentially, both creepy and scary and dangerous, right? I mean, mm-hmm. people can get up to some shenanigans with this sort of thing, right? For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a shipping product, and Sony is probably nowhere near having a shipping product. They may not even be working on trying to make a shipping product. I'm not saying this is here, because it's not.
Oh, I have to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Your tweet showed up.
Oh, nice. yeah, dear Jack. Ditto on all the things I said earlier.
So I'm going to do a dramatic reading. Brian Chaffin at TM O'Brien. At Jack, screw this third-party API deprecation. Screw your decision to kill the Mac app. And I'm just about ready to say screw at Twitter.
Love, and scene.
Brian.
Oops, sorry. And scene.
Anyhow, Sony contacts.
So funny how long it took to get there.
Well, it probably showed up while we were talking about Molecule.
Yeah, but it's much funnier if it just showed up just now. So let's go with that.
Showed up. Holy crap. I can't believe it just showed up.
So, right. Anyway, we were talking very recently about the future of AR and why we think that AR is going to be important. Mm-hmm. Was that last week or the week before?
Yeah.
24 robbers came knocking at my door.
Dude, I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Okay, well, so we talked about it recently.
Yes,
we did. And we were really talking about it from the standpoint of AR itself, but there is also the mechanical aspect of the ways we can augment our bodies that I think would be a fun discussion. And John's CSF, and what we have linked in the show notes to it, but John's CSF is basically, sparking this conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, we talked about how, like, walking around with the phone in front of your face is not a good way to live your life.
Right.
Right. And we also talked about, I made this point. I can't remember if you and I made this point. I definitely made this point. I spoke at CatMac this week. I did a remote presentation at CatMac, the Austin Mac user group. And
those people.
And I was making the point, and I was holding up the – I do too. Yeah, it's a great group. I was holding up my iPhone in front of the camera, and like in between the camera and me, to demonstrate how walking around trying to view augmented reality through our iPhones is utter nonsense in terms of, like, living our day-to-day lives. And mm-hmm. we talked about how goggles are cumbersome and, also block you off from the world. That's no good.
Yes. Also, crappy battery life if you're going portable, and all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, you're walking around. Yeah, it's just terrible. Glasses, something like Google Glass done correctly, would be a way of experiencing better augmented reality. And then I think we jumped right up to we might have mentioned, you and I might have mentioned contact lenses, but sort of really jumped straight to brain implants as having electronics in your head that can directly project information and images onto your vision through your ocular cavity in your brain.
Yeah, and I think I probably made a joke about oh man, I hate when I do that when there's a show, Futurama. I hate when I just forget a name like that. I probably made a good Futurama joke, including shut up and take my money.
Sure, let's go with that.
Listeners, you get it. Brian's never been into Futurama the way we have.
Hey, I did own some Frycoin, which was an altcoin based on the character Fry, and the motto of Frycoin was shut up and take my money.
Which is from the episode that I'm referencing, where everyone goes out and buys an iPhone. It's EYE phone.
Yeah.
And they jam it back behind your eye, and now it's exactly the sort of thing we're talking about.
Right. So the thing is there is this big step in between that. And I believe that the step, you know, absent Civilization ending, which, you know.
Which any minute now or not.
It you know, not, yeah, right. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But the big intermediate step between brain implants and where we are today, or even between a proper working set of glasses, are things like contact lenses that can be cameras and projectors. Like, you know, this contact lens patent is for recording video, but you can, you know, we will eventually have contact lenses that can display videos, or more particularly, simply display information and project it onto what you're seeing in the real world. Mm-hmm. And we will eventually more than likely have mechanical eyeball replacements. Mm-hmm. That will be a step two. But then there's other things we can do too, Jeff. Like, imagine if your whole body could be turned into an eye. By which I mean, like, if your skin, which gets bathed in all this light, if there was a way of taking that light that your skin is bathed in and converting it into who knows what kind of image that we see.
And now all I have in my head is this image of me standing out on Pearl Street Mall saying, hold on, I need to see better, and taking a close.
Well, you know, okay, I don't necessarily mean like everyone walking around naked, although that's probably inevitable too if civilization continues on without disruptive tangential directions. Mm-hmm. Public nudity is probably eventually going to be a thing. It is a thing in some cities at some of the time now. Mm-hmm. There are parts of San Francisco where it's probably not going to be all that hard to find someone standing in the street naked. And there's entire parades of naked folk that happen in San Francisco at least once a year. So
yeah, we have topless okay laws in Boulder and Denver, and we also have around Halloween a bicycle ride where everyone's naked.
Ah, yes, that just doesn't sound fun to me at all. Like, in no way.
You have to be really careful how you sit on the bicycle seat.
Well, I'm learning. But I didn't mean necessarily walking around naked. I mean, like, if you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, the amount of light that falls on your arms is a lot more than the amount of light that hits your eyeballs. If you could even just convert that into data that could be perceived as sight, it would be like seeing the world in high definition.
Oh my God. You really went there. I was thinking more along the lines of like some animals that have nearly 360 degree vision.
Sure, that too.
Kind of like that.
That too. You know, or like if more realistically, well, maybe anyway, but if you shaved your head and turned all the skin on your head into a light receptor, that your skin is a light receptor. Light hits our skin is my point. But anyway, these are possibilities too. There are all kinds of cyberpunk concepts that to me are very likely, and it's only a matter of time. And these things can both enhance our vision, replace our vision, augment our vision, change our vision, or be used for things like Apple's augmented reality, where you simply have additional data being superimposed on seeing in the real world. Mm-hmm. Like these things are all this stuff will happen. This thing that Sony has done may or may not have become a shipping product, but the concepts that are in it are going to be in a shipping product.
Yeah, if nothing else, I see the concepts they've created as a great stepping stone for augmented reality heads-up displays. Pop in your contacts, and now you're just seeing all that stuff.
That is an obvious step, and there is enormous value to the military for that sort of ability, by which I mean there is enormous incentive for the military in multiple countries to fund this kind of R&D. Mm-hmm. And meaning that you know, like there are a lot of technologies that come into being through the military. But, you know, soldiers being able to walk around with a heads-up display that is a set of contact lenses has just absolutely enormous value.
Well, considering this patent from Sony is from 2016, my guess is that it's likely that at least one government on this planet has already developed some technology that does this sort of thing, even if it's just in the lab.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think we necessarily have the like. For instance, if you look at this patent, it's a bunch of ideas, and all those ideas are they're not even close.
All right. Well, then, how does this sound for just like an awful, awful lab experiment where you have the contact lenses and they're on someone's eyes, but they actually have wires running off the contacts to a computer system? And so it's sending data to the contacts and
yeah, that's how they do it. That would be a step.
But you can't walk too far, or you're going to pop your contact off because
or maybe your eyeball
6-foot line. Now it just got really creepy.
but it's interesting, and you know there are a lot of things that we already do. Like you know, there's going to be implanty things to do for our vision. And there's going to be implanty things that we can do to control insulin. And there's already, you know, we're already close to that with insulin.
With insulin, we have the insulin delivery systems where, I mean, you've seen the ones where people have them like on a belt and it's
yes.
Plugged directly into them. Have you seen the ones where it's actually on their arm?
Yes. And at some point those will be in our bodies.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has a lot of incentive to make it easier to treat this disease rather than cure it. But that's beside the point. Don't even get me started.
Yeah. Okay. Then how about pacemakers? That's not new technology. And that's an implant that's
keeping
all kinds of people alive.
All kinds of people. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. And stuff was all cyberpunk. There are things that are happening right now that were once cyberpunk science fiction, and they're just reality today. And you know, just like so many things from Star Trek have come into being in one way or another, and so many things from other branches of science fiction have come into being in one way or another. A lot of cyberpunk is going to come into being too, and. You know, Apple's positioning with augmented reality starting in iOS 11 is just such a big head start in being playing a major role in this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited to see where this technology goes, because it feels to me like this is the sort of thing that can really enhance and improve a lot of people's lives.
Agreed. All right. So listen, on that happy note, first of all, I really want to thank the Molecule people.
Yes. Head over to their website, molecule.com. I'm going to spell it again because of the K. MOLEKULE.com. And use that discount code ACM for $75 off your first order.
And that's totally the best coupon code to use, too.
It is.
It's like the best. It's the best coupon code ever, ACM.
It's pretty awesome.
Indeed. So we want to thank them for being our sponsors. We would like you to check them out, pay them some love, just like they're paying us some love.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really cool technology.
It is. Everyone should breathe better. Seriously.
Everyone should breathe better, that's for sure. And on that happy note, Thanks for joining me, Jeff.
Oh, it's always awesome. Hey, check out what happens when I hit this button. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Indeed, content written by Mac Observer, bandwidth provided by Cashfly, Base recorded by Boom, just for us. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.